All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is a privilege to be able to come and share with you. This is the last Sabbath before Feast of Tabernacles. And so I just want to just remind everyone, you know, this is a privilege that we have. And so here it is, we're getting ready to go to the feast in just a few days.
Last Sabbath before.
So here it is. This is T minus 2, you might say, today, you know, the way they used to count it at NASA, 2 days remaining. That's tomorrow and Monday, and then the Feast of Tabernacles start. And so we are approaching the feast, and I want you to note, very few people are observing the Feast of Tabernacles worldwide. And yet this is the one that portrays the great work that God is doing and also will be doing in the near future. I've said it before, I'm saying it again, that holy days are a milestone of or demarcation of God's overall plan of salvation. And so whenever we observe these, we're observing what God is doing, saying that, hey, listen, Lord, we're with you, we're in sync with you, we want to know more from you. But before we go to this, ladies and gentlemen, because today's message is, the theme is to the kingdom. Where are we going? We're going to the kingdom. What kingdom? The kingdom of God. Not everybody going to be in it. Not everybody who is a part of a church is going to be in it. Only those who do the will of God's of Jesus his Father, that will do the will of God. Now the Bible is filled, ladies and gentlemen, of stories of mankind developing and experiencing the fruit of their own way. They develop their own way and they experience the fruit of it. The Bible is filled with that. History is filled with documentation of people who try to do things their way, and you see the end result. The country is filled with people who somehow believe they can somehow circumvent the principles that God has set in motion. You know, I don't think there's anybody with a sound mind who complains that water flows in a river and we can use that water to generate hydropower, hydroelectric power. I don't think anybody complains about that. What is the principle behind that? The law of gravity allows the water to flow down to a lower potential, and so it releases the energy in the process, and that is what is used to turn the turbines, and that's how we get the electricity from it, the hydropower as we call it. And so what I am saying is, we understand that concept because that's a principle. It's a principle or a law that God set in motion. Now, there are other laws that he has set in motion, and some people choose not to obey it. For example, the weekly Sabbath. I cannot tell you about the number of people I've met throughout the years who insist that they shouldn't keep the Sabbath. And sometimes God has to really show them a hard way. In other words, allow them to make a mess of things to the point where they end up, even though they work real hard, they have nothing to show for it. And those who have something, they can't enjoy it because they're out of touch. You recall the children of Israel when God drove them out of the land? He said, now the Sabbath, the land will have its Sabbath. Are you saying to me that the Sabbath is that important to God? Yes, it is. And this is important to the land also. But folks don't believe it. They try to do their own thing. They try to go their own way. And so he says, for all those years that I drive the children of Israel out of the land of Israel, is so that the land will be free of them. It's as if they were tormenting the land. God caused them to be driven out. And so what I'm sharing is just information to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, that God's way works. So the first part of this message is one I have given a few weeks ago, and I want to repeat it because I think from time to time, sometimes we believe we know so much, that we don't need to repeat stuff. We don't need to look over it again. I review my messages. I take notes. I'd advise you to do the same. As I said before, the world is filled with examples of people going contrary to God, and they reap the benefits of doing so. In other words, the curses that come along with it. Look at the society, ladies and gentlemen. Listen. The Bible is very clear. A good understanding of all they that keep his commandments, but the way of the transgressor is hard. You read about that in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15. Good understanding gives favor. You want God's favor? Get a good understanding of how you're supposed to operate. You want God's favor? Get a good understanding of his way of life. Study his teachings. Study his words. But it says in the second clause, he that fear the way of the transgressor is hard. The people who won't listen to God, who won't do things God's way, they're going to have a hard life. You know why the world is having a hard life? Because the world won't obey God. The world won't follow God. You and I have been given the privilege, our eyes have been opened, and so we are learning to follow God. And the more we follow him, the more smooth things will be, the more peaceful you and I will be. So I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, that God's way is easy. And anybody who don't want to embrace it is really, we used to have an expression when we were growing up, numbskull. People are very simple, won't think, won't achieve, won't grow, numbskull. Those who won't follow God's way are numbskulls, plain and simple. Now in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, I want us to turn there. It's a very simple statement. Deuteronomy chapter 30, because we need to make sure, ladies and gentlemen, we cement these things in our mind. Look at verse 19. He says, I have called heaven and earth to record this day against you. What he says? He's talking about those that dwell in heaven, the angels. They're a witness to what God is doing, and they witnessed what God has blessed us and we disobey him. They witness how God has told us what to do and we walk contrary to him. They witness all that. So he said he called heaven and earth as a witness against you that I have set before you, because he's not holding back. He's putting it before us so we can have free access to it. What has he done? He has set before us life and death. Every one of us, ladies and gentlemen, when we come of age, must start giving account. He has set before us life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, since he has given us the choice now, choose life that you and your children may live. You and your offspring. Choose life. I don't know if anybody in their right mind will say they're going to choose death. But a lot of people have chosen death by default because they refuse to do what God says. How can anybody with any intelligence come before the great God of heaven and won't sing praises to him? But people choose to do that, and somehow believe God don't see. Now they don't say it in that way, but they act as if it doesn't matter. And I'm telling you, it matters, because he says, come before his presence with singing and into his courts with praise. And we should be thankful unto him we certainly want to bless his name, because the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 20 says, that you may love the Lord your God. So we're supposed to make the right choice, that we may love the Lord our God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life. The length of your days that you may dwell on the earth is going to be prolonged. He gave this originally to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but it's by extension given to us today. It's up to you, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get hold of it. Because I'm explaining to you, God has already declared that the way of the transgressor is hard. Why is it a country that was so blessed and had so much money has become broke, to the point where they're starting to tax people a second time? Why is that happening? People just choose not to follow God anymore. They walk in disobedience. And so that is why these things are happening. And much worse is going to happen. Look at Deuteronomy. Let's keep that for the time. It says in Luke the 18th chapter. I want to go ahead and touch on this. I didn't know. You know, this is amazing the way God operates. Luke chapter 18 and verse 15. This is what it says. They brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them, but when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. They said, you know, the master is tired, you can't, no, he can't be bothered with the kids. And the Lord saw it and he wasn't pleased. But Jesus called them unto him and said, allow the children to come unto me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Now, you hear what I just said earlier? Our title of our message is, we are on our way to the kingdom, to the kingdom. Well, if you're going to come like a little child in the presence of God, you're on your way. Now let's pick up another verse. Verse 17 says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. In other words, if you're not going to behave yourself and come to him and let him bless you, you're not going to be in it. You're not going to be in it. That's the bottom line. Let's take it a step further, ladies and gentlemen, because we need to understand that God's way works. God's way is easy. In the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, there's a profound statement made there. We want to remind you of it. Matthew chapter 11. And we pick it up really in verse 27. He says, I tell you, that's 11. Okay. Where is it? Yeah, that's it. What I tell you in darkness, that I speak in light. Pick up the wrong verse.
All things have been delivered.
Actually, it's a correct verse. I need to go back and read it again.
Matthew, what now?
Chapter 11, verse 27. He says, what I tell you in darkness, I speak you in the light. And what you hear in the air, that preach you upon the housetops. So the point is this, he's not hiding anything. He said, whatever you hear from me, you can tell others. Now, you're going to use wisdom, but the point is that you can. And he expects us to. That's what the whole art of evangelism is all about. So verse 28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul." In other words, fear God. Don't fear mankind. Very important, ladies and gentlemen. Very important. Because I'm saying to you, God's way is easy. Let's take it a step further. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, and verse 16, Matthew chapter 19, and verse 16, it says, "And I behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Somebody come to him, and you know, he's up temper, so to speak, dressing Jesus up. And he says, "Wait, what good thing?" What, in other words, he's implying that something good has to be done. Well, that is partly true. But it's not based on our performance. It's based on God's grace. So what he said was, let's see, verse 20, verse 19. Well, I'm going to read this. This was not in my notes. Verse 17 says, "Why call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments." Notice this now. He's admonishing us that if you really want eternal life, you will do what he says, keep his commandments. "Then said he unto," then said he unto him, "Which Jesus," in other words, he come to Jesus and he's telling this, and Jesus says, "Keep the commandments." And he said, "Which one?" In other words, you know, he's trying to be sarcastic in a sense. And so Jesus says, "Thou shalt not do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. That you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So here it is, he's telling us now. These are just some basic things that they're supposed to be doing. Well, as I said before, these are basics. But what am I talking about, ladies and gentlemen? I am saying that God's way, you know, it matters. God's way is easy. So if you will enter into life, he's telling him in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. "But Jesus said unto him, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So he had told him before, if you enter into life, keep the commandments. And now they were wondering and saying, "How are we going to be able to do this? What's going to happen?" And he's pointing out, "Hey, listen, all things are possible with God." In other words, be diligent, focus on him, and do our part. All right? Now, I am trying to explain to us, very simple, that God's way is easy. So when people go contrary to it, they're doing things the difficult way. In Psalm 110, we have read this many times, but Psalm 110, it's explaining that a good understanding, let's go, Psalm 110, and or actually 111 and verse 10, it's actually Psalm 111. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Now, I said this last week, and I did not plan to say it again this week, but it turns out that there's something to see pop up in my notes, and I said, let it stay there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all they that do his commandments. Now, you remember we read earlier that good understanding gives favor. and the way of the transgressors are, well, here it is now, a good understanding of all they that do his commandments. You do his commandments, it's going to give you favor. And of course, the way of the transgressor is always going to be hard. In other words, if you practice doing things that is right. You know, in the 34th Psalm, let's go to it. Psalm number 34, this thing just keep pulling at least, let me go ahead. 34. It says in verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." How do you know that what I'm saying is true? You're going to have to put it to the test. How do you know that God is a good God? You have to put him to the test. And he's saying, he's throwing out a challenge to you now. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34 and verse 8. "Blessed is the man that trusts in him." You want blessings of God? You want things to work out right? You want to make sure you end up on easy street? When you follow God. Follow God. Because I'm telling you, those who go contrary to him, they're going to end up losing out. The way of the transgressor is always hard. And it's always going to be hard. How is it going to end up for those people then who choose to follow God? What's the end result of it, ladies and gentlemen? In Revelation, the 20th chapter, because you see, we need to know this like the back of our hand. I am saying to you that there's going to come a time when they're going to start to tax the stuff that we send overseas. There's going to come a time when you won't be able to read a Bible. So if you don't have it in you, you're not going to be able to know which way to go. Revelation chapter 20 talks about a time yet future ahead of us, where he saw, John was projected into the spirit way down into the future, some 2,000 plus years. And what did he see? Verse 1 says, "I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to what we would call hell, or Hades, the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand." He's using terminology that we can understand. I want us to make sure we are looking at these things. Try to see the words with your own eyes. It does something to your spirit man. And he says, and he cast him into the bottomless pit. So he cast him into hellfire, really, or what we call hellfire. It doesn't really work, most people describe. The point is that he's going to be in a place of restraint. He's arrested. He cast him into the bottomless pit and put a seal upon him, or you would say shut the door, that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years are fulfilled. The way things are now, ladies and gentlemen, the way things are now, the devil can go around and do what he pretty much please. Yes, there are some restrictions, but for the most part, he's still on the remember now, he's still God of this world. Now, a lot of people don't understand that, but that's how it is. And so what I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make sure you get it full in your spirit. This angel is going to come and bind him. He's going to be arrested for a while. And then everybody's going to be able to learn and to listen. The way of God is not going forth like it should, or at least could. And that's because this being is sending out demon spirits to go into people and be put obstacles in their way. And so many people do not understand this, so they just kind of give up. He is going to be bound for how long? 1,000 years. You're going to have 1,000 years of peace on earth? Yes, there is going to be. Are things going to run good? Yes, there are. We'll soon see shortly. What happened? Satan is bound. Well, why is he bound? No, God is allowing him to stay so as to test us, so we prove what we are made of. And that's how we qualify to go into the kingdom. Verse 4 says, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. So who is this them he's talking about? Them sat upon those thrones. He saw the thrones. He was able to see things in the spirit. And he saw thrones, and people were sitting on them. Judgment was ruled in their favor. So the Bible says judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witnesses of Jesus. So some people are going to lose their head. Well, why is that? Because some of them not paying attention now. So he saw the souls of them that were beheaded for Jesus. Alright, let's go back and read it again. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witnesses of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. So here it is now. We find out it's a period of time, he's yet future, where he saw some people who actually lose their head, lose their life, because they talk about Jesus and they knew Jesus, they would abandon him. Some of those people are going to be arrested. Some are going to be thrown in jail. Some are going to be killed. So that's why you said we should pray that we may be accounted worthy to escape it. But my point is this, ladies and gentlemen, that period of time is coming whether we like it or not. So you and I need to be prepared, don't we? Well, what else did he see? You notice that they did not receive the image of the beast. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witnesses of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. How is that mark going to be given anyway? There are two ways. Some of it is being given right now. Yes, but there's another way where it's actually taking place and people are overlooking that. No, just by people not keeping the Sabbath.
Oh, like blood over the door.
Yes, it's a spiritual concept. And so they're taking on this people, you know, there are folks who like to argue and tell you, you can keep any day. Oh, really? Is any day good enough for you? Why is it if you only work at a job where payday never come? Are you saying any day matters? It matters to those who observe it. But for those who don't, they don't get the big picture. So if you just choose a different day and say, oh, which day will never come, payday, people going to quit. It matters. And so he says, they did receive his mark upon their foreheads, or as we would say nowadays, in our mind, or in their hands by what they do. In other words, you're going to do your stuff on the Sabbath. No, you choose not to, because that is the day of rest. God has ordained it so. Neither do you cloud your mind with the things of this world on the Sabbath. We just read that 2 weeks ago. Isaiah chapter 58. Blessed is the man who keeps his foot from the Sabbath and delight in the Sabbath of the Lord. Make the Sabbath a delight. That man is going to be blessed.
Well, down the road there's going to be a physical representation, but right now there is a spiritual one. And so he says, he saw these people and they did not worship the beast, neither his image, neither receive his mark are in their hands are in their, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
How long did they live for? At least 1,000 years, because this is the beginning.
That's verse 4 of Revelation chapter 20. Verse 5 says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection.
So listen to this now, folks. I want everybody to make sure you don't miss this. There are people who were dead who came back to life and they were given eternal life. Well, the other people who were dead did not come to life. They don't know what is happening. But they did not live for 1,000 years. And after that, they're going to be waking up and given an opportunity. Now, a lot of folks don't know this. And that's what we're celebrating this coming week. The Feast of Tabernacles. We are celebrating what God is going to do. Now, I want us to, and this is a word for the people in the church. Because sometimes we tend to look down on people who are not in the church, or they may not have the understanding that we have, or we look down on them and talk down to them, not realizing that it is our time now. It is for us now to pay attention and to do what is right. When you're running a relay race and you get the baton, that is your time to perform. Not the time for you to crack jokes or to walk around and do whatever. You can put him over there. Let the Spirit come upon him. And so what I'm saying is that, you know, the world doesn't understand this, but it is not for us to put them down. We want to make sure we don't offend them, but we spend, you know, we try to encourage them if we can and intercede for them. But my point is that God is allowing it to be so now. So this is their time. This is your time to learn. It is your time to pay attention. Well, it will be so much easier. That's right, it would be a lot easier, but God did not call us to easiness. What he's doing is he's calling us to walk with him and live for him and be a light to others. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not everybody understands that. So I want to make sure the church people understand. Don't put down other people or talk contrary to, or talk about them. You, if you want, pray for them, intercede for them. If you're able to assist them otherwise, please do so. But don't say anything negative for them or about them. Because this is your turn. And it is up to you now to pay close attention to the things of God. It is our turn, ladies and gentlemen. And so we need to make sure we understand that. The rest of the dead is going to remain dead. They're not in hell burning. They're in the grave. And that's where they're going to remain until Jesus have a second resurrection at the end of the millennium. 1,000 years later, the beginning of the kingdom of God is the beginning of the millennium. Millennium means millennium, or Latin for 1,000 years. Annium means per year. Mill means thousand. Millennium. We just break it down and really develop this word millennium. But that's what that is. So 1,000 years later. And then they're going to come back to life. At that point, there are other things that are going to take place, but we'll talk about that during the Feast of Tabernacles. So I want to make sure we understand this now, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I'm telling everybody, it is up to us now to make sure we are making our calling and election sure. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Don't put down the other people. It is not our job to be their judge. God will deal with them in his own time. You don't know all what he's doing and how he's going to work with them. The Apostle Paul spent most of his adult life, well, at least the early part of it, rather, before he got converted, persecuting the church, killing people, causing them to be killed. Well, God decided to use him. And he got some difficult job. He spent one time 5 years in prison. He got some difficult tasks. But you know something? He didn't mind because he knew how much he suffered. I mean, how much he made the people of God suffer. I'm sure it comes. Sometimes he's thinking, you know, well, if I hadn't done all these things, this wouldn't happen to me. Nevertheless, he was bold and willing to move diligently, and so he allowed God to use him in that way. He stayed with the call. Are you going to follow his example and stay with the call? All right, let's take it a step further, ladies and gentlemen. Because what we're saying is that we're on the way to the kingdom. You and I have been given a course of action where we're going to live a certain way, and we are preparing ourselves for the coming kingdom of God. What are we doing? We are learning about God. We are learning the things of God. We are learning to live like God. In other words, live right, righteously. No. We'll never be God like God is God. Yes, we are his children, and we're going to grow up. We're going to be more like him, but we can never be like him. Why? Because we have already messed up. So we can get better and better and better and better and better, but we're never going to be 100%. He is 100%. He is the real deal. Now, what will things be like when he comes back to earth, ladies and gentlemen, to set up things? What will things be like? Well, in Revelation chapter 22, it shed some light on this subject. So he showed me, verse 1 says, he showed me a pure river of water of life. Notice what the type of river. This is not a regular river. A water of life. So stuff, life is going to be such that it's flowing gentle. It's just like a river. So he showed me this river, a pure river, water of life. It's not dirty one, it's clean. Clear as crystal, proceeded out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So what you're going to find in is when the kingdom of God is established, the way of life or the way to live God's life is going to flow through the leaders at the time towards the people. He says in the midst of this street, on both sides of the river, there was a tree of life which bear 12 manner of fruit. Notice how he's describing this. It doesn't really have to be a physical river, you know. It doesn't have to be. Now the implication he's using, the terminology, is that there is a river. But what I am trying to convey to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that this is happening. This is going to happen, rather. And so life is going to flow from where? Headquarters. Where is headquarters going to be? Jerusalem. That's where life is going to flow from. And we, the saints, we're going to reign and rule with Jesus. We're going to teach and help influence people from the spirit realm the same way the demons influence us now, but do it in the negative way to do evil. We're going to do it, influence them to do good. So those who are alive at that time, they're going to have a ball. They're going to have a good time. No wonder why the Bible call it good news. It says, there shall be no more curse, verse 3, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. They're talking about in that city, and it's going to be actually worldwide. Shall be in it, and his servants are going to serve him. In other words, they're going to do what is right. Now, we have a lot of government leaders today who don't want to do what is right. They're not serving their leader. The leader swear we're going to do, they come and they take their oath on the Bible and they swear they're going to do this, or they affirm, if they don't want to use that word. And yet they go out there and they do something different. They tell lies. Sometimes they have to be fired. Some of them even end up in prison. But what he's saying is, when Jesus set up the kingdom of God, his servants, and that's us, we are going to serve him. So he can't use anybody. It's going to have to be those who overcome, those who make a quality decision to do things God's way. Those are the ones who are going to be in the kingdom. So I'm getting ahead of myself. But look at Ezekiel chapter 47. I want us to see Ezekiel 47 for just a minute. Because they're describing a similar process, ladies and gentlemen, of a certain river where he says in chapter verse 1 of Ezekiel 47, he said, afterward he brought me again into the door of the house of the Lord, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the wall of the house of eastward, for the forefront of the house stood before the east. And the waters came down from under it, from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he out of the way of the gate northward, and led me by the way outside. And what do you see? After a while, this thing become a river, and it start to act like a river. Is it a physical river? There could be one, but that's not the point he's trying to get us to see. The word of God is going to flow towards the people continually. Now you turn on the TV nowadays and you get all kind of gibberish coming out. All different kind of information. But when God is in charge, he's only the God's word is going to come out. I try wherever I am to constantly play music to drown out the world's way. I don't want to hear from the other stuff. That's one of the reasons why I don't go to movies. I don't want to see what these people have to say. There's nothing they can tell me that's going to really allow me to be better serving Christ. They're not doing what the Bible says, so why should I listen to them? You know, you see a lot of people in the church and they think, well, you get some comedy. Oh, really? One person told me some time ago, lighten up. And I was telling them, you're just too light. That's your problem. You don't want to be burdened down with the things of God. No, you want the world's things. Well, go on and see how much blessing you get. I'm trying to tell you, the whole world has 6,000 years of proof that they can't figure it out. That after 6,000 years of them trying to live contrary to God, we are coming to the conclusion that their way doesn't work and only God's way works. So I am saying to you, I am not intrigued by the things of this world. In fact, he tells us, love not the world, neither the things of this world, because all you're going to find here when you summarize it is the pride of life, the love of these things. That's all there is. You ever wonder why they used the phrase pop tune or pop music? Why? It stands for popular. But why? Because after a while it gets boring, so they have to come in some more pop tune to kind of stir us up. You know, the high goes away because it wasn't for real. And so you have to get another high, you get another tune or whatever it is. People take drugs, the same thing. They have to get another high. But then you learn to do things God's way, you're going to be high on his thing and his way of life, and you're going to find that you don't need all the physical impairment and stuff like that. I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, that the kingdom of God, when it is established, there's going to be peace and things are going to run smoothly. What we find here is that there's a river representing the way of life or the teachings of God that's going to go forth. But something else is going to happen according to the book of Revelation. It says in verse 7 of Revelation 22, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keep the sayings of this prophecy of this book. So if you read this and you're doing what he says, you're going to be blessed. For those who read it and don't do it, well, you know the answer to that. And I, John, saw these things and I heard them. And when I heard them, I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. So, you know, he's being plain and he's saying, I bowed down to God, I was going to worship that angel. Well, what did the angel say to me? Then said he unto me, don't do it, for I am a fellow servant. Are we fellow servants to the angels? Yes, we are. We are. We serve God. Different capacities, but we serve God. But what is going to happen is, and by the way, that only goes to show how much more you can have flowing with you when you start to walk among the angels. That's what Zechariah chapter 3, verse 6 and 7 is talking about. But anyway, verse 9 of Revelation 22. Verse 9 says, then said he unto me, see that you do it not, for I am a fellow servant and of the brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. He says, I'm a fellow servant just like the prophets, all those other people. You mean they kept the sayings of God? Yes, they sure did. That's what he just said right there. And as a result, then, all you need to do is worship God. Continue verse 10. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. What does that mean? Because John was writing and he don't have the ability to seal anything. So what does that mean? It is implying that God is not going to hide this information. Once this information comes out, it's going to be open to anyone who hear it. And it's up to us now to take heed. So the way he says that in Bible language is, seal not the words of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. So I'm saying to you, they're the people who don't want to do right. Just leave them alone. Continue doing what God says. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him still remain filthy. But he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And you know, the point here is this. Here's a cutoff time. Things are coming to an end. Time's going to be up at some point. I come quickly, verse 12. My reward is with me to give unto every man according as he has his work shall be. So the point here is this. He's coming, and he's coming with a reward. So when did he determine our reward? He'd do it right now. He's doing it right now. You can have a pretty good idea what kind of reward you're going to get based on the way you're being treated now. Now, folks, I'm excited. The way God comes through for us, especially in the last four months, let me see, May, June, July, August, September, 5 months. Here it is. He just come through. And he's moving big time for us. And we're preparing now to go keep the feast, celebrating what God is going to do in advance. And I'm telling you that he's coming and he has come. And he has, listen to me, folks. We are a living, this church is a living testimony of the saving and healing power of God and how much he has blessed his people and how much he's willing to bless his people. But we can't, you know, I was talking to a gentleman the other day and he says, you guys have a record of performance. He's correct. You can tell how things are going to be in the future based on what God is treating you now. Let me go ahead and interject and say something else. In the fall, that's this time of year, when you come into the close of the feast days, what we are doing, we are getting the seeds in the ground, so to speak. We are preparing ourselves for a bountiful harvest in the spring. That's what we are doing. Now, in the spring, Passover time, when you are doing what he says you should do, You're preparing yourself for a bountiful harvest in the fall. It's a continuous thing, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't think a lot of people understand this. I am saying to you that if you want to reap what the good things God has for you, make sure you pay attention to him. So I have a problem with the folks who try to tell us that you don't have to keep the Sabbath or the holy days. I'm not mad with them. I think they've been hoodwinked. I think the devil has fooled them. But if they're smart, they'll catch on. Has things been going well for you? Well, I'm saying just repent, turn, and start to follow God. That's all I'm asking. Turn and follow him. It's that simple. In the 15th Psalm, it gives us an example. It's not a complete explanation or exposition on this. But in Psalm number 15, a question is asked. So let me turn to it and read it in your presence. Verse 1, Psalm number 15. Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? So he's asking the question in verse 1 of Psalm number 15. Lord, who is going to abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He's asking the question. That makes sense. We need to know who are going to be the ones who are going to be in it. Well, you look and see if you fit the profile. It said, he that walks uprightly and work righteousness. What does that mean? He does what is right. He strives to do what is right. He that walks uprightly. Are you walking uprightly? Are you speaking the truth in your heart? For real? Are you for real when you talk to people, or are you the fake? And they have to try to figure you out and fast and pray to figure if you're telling the truth. He that walk uprightly. He that speaks the truth. He that backbiteth not. In other words, don't talk behind people's back. You have something relevant, talk to them in person. If they won't listen to you, get another witness and both of you go talk to them. If they still won't listen, then tell it to this minister, and then he will tell it to the church, and the church say, look, we're not going to fool it so-and-so because they don't want to do right no more. Let them be ashamed. And when that happens, now something else takes place. That gives the demons permission now to beat upon them. And if they have enough sense, they'll quickly turn around and come back to the church. But he that backbiteth not, verse 3 says, nor with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor take up a reproach against his neighbor, that person is going to be in the kingdom. Verse 4, in whom his eyes, a vile person is condemned. So the one who see what evil people are doing, and say, I ain't going to hang with these people. I don't want to be around them. I scorn that type of behavior. I don't want to see that. Definitely I'm not going to do it. He that honored them that fear the Lord. That's the person going to be in the kingdom. He's giving you some examples. You honor those who respect God. Well, what about the people who don't respect God? No, you're just pray or intercede for them, but don't associate with them lest it come upon you. He that feareth the Lord, he that swear to his own hurt and does not change. What does that mean? He make a promise, he make a deal, even if it cost him, he's going to keep his word. That's what that means. He that put out his money to usury, now take a reward against the innocent. So you don't tell lies because somebody give you a bribe to do it. And you don't put out, you don't lend your money at interest. Now it's not wrong for you to do so. It's a business transaction. But the point is this. You know, part of this, what I'm saying with the Boaz fund, when we set it up, we're not going to charge interest. And you're going to find that God blesses it over and over.
He continues. He said, he that does these things shall never be moved.
They're going to be in it. They're going to be in the kingdom. Those are the people he's talking about. And I want us to make sure, ladies and gentlemen, that we are among those people. Now, what else is going to happen with the kingdom of God established, ladies and gentlemen? Well, he points out in Amos chapter 9, I want us to make sure we understand this, because not everybody grasps these things, but we have to say it again and again and again so that people will get it in their spirit. In the book of Amos, the 9th chapter, starting with verse 13, he says, behold, the days are coming, it's a prophecy for the future, says the Lord, that the plowman, the man who operates the plow or the tractor to go out and plow the land, he's going to overtake the reaper. In other words, he's going to be right behind the reaper. The person who's now trying to get, they have so much crops from the year before or the season before that they haven't really finished it yet. And yet here it is, they're coming now, getting ready. They're getting ready to plow and plant again. They have so much left over from the last harvest. And he said, those days are coming. And the treader of grapes, the one who pressed the grapes so they can get the wine and so on from it, he's going to overtake those who are treading the grapes. And those who are sowing seeds, they haven't even finished harvesting yet. They're coming to plant again. They have so much. The crop was so big he hadn't finished harvesting it. The mountain's going to drip new wine. The hill's going to drip new wine because, hey, we got some abundance. He says those days are coming. Are they there now? No. We've had some like that in the past. I see pictures of where folks, the farms, were produce so much corn at harvest time in the state of Kansas that they had to, they just mark off certain streets and start to just dump it there. Just like you'd have a load of concrete or a load of sand, and it gets as high as sometimes 40, 50 feet. They would do that to corn. It was that high. I've seen the pictures of it. That's how it used to be. They had so much. Not anymore. What happened? We no longer obey God. We don't want to do what he says. So that's why. But I'm saying to you, this is how it's going to be when Jesus set up the kingdom of God. And the Bible says that the knowledge of God is going to be all over the place. Isaiah chapter 9. Chapter 11 rather. He says in verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains. Well, why won't they do so? Because all they keep hearing on the radio, on TV, and on the internet is that we must learn to live right and do good. And behave ourselves. That's the type of stuff they're hearing constantly. And so as a result, then they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth, for the earth shall be full of the Lord, of the knowledge of the Lord. By the way, do we have that now? No. Most people don't know about God now. They don't even want to hear it. But earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. We don't really. How does the water cover the sea? Completely. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Says. Chapter 11, chapter 9 and verse 6,
gives additional support there. He says, "For unto us a child is born." What caused all this? A child that is born unto us. Unto us the Son is given. A son, but it's only one. That's Jesus. A son is given. And the government is going to be upon his shoulder. In other words, he is responsible for it. And I'm telling you, all this abundance is going to be around during that time. Now, we need to make sure we understand these things. And I'm teaching this because, you know, those who, depending on where you attend services, you may not be able to hear all of this. And we need to be filled with this knowledge, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be filled with this. There are folks who think it is such a wrong thing to have an abundance. And when Jesus comes, there's going to be abundance all over the place. The word of the Lord is going to go forth. Isaiah chapter 55 tells us that people are going to live a long time. Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. I won't take time to read it because of sake of time now. But I'm telling you, read it later. Isaiah 65, people are going to live a long time. Verse 22 says, they're going to live as long as trees. People are going to be out there for a long period of time. They're not going to just die off like that and somebody take their property. There's going to be abundance. The book of Micah says a similar thing. Talks about how the kingdom of God is going to be established on the earth. And it's going to be the same way. And it's Micah chapter 4 and Isaiah chapter 2. Same way. All these things are going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. There are some who may have doubts about how it's going to be. We'll go to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah, the 14th chapter. Because we need to make sure we understand these things, ladies and gentlemen. We need to make sure we understand. It says in verse 16, "It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem." So there some people are getting ready to fight against Jerusalem now. You have some folks who don't understand that God chose Israel for a reason, not because they're better than other people, but because he is God and he chose to use whoever he wants. And so he chose the Jews. He's going to use them. Well, there are other people who don't like that. And so they're going to fight against it. And they're going to go ahead and they're going to overpower the Jews. They're going to overcome them. It's not because these people are righteous. It's because God allowed that to happen. Because the Jews are going to have to learn also that you must do right. So he says, "It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, they shall even go up from year to year to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Now why are they turning around? Well, they're going to end up with some of them without rain. Some of them are going to learn that, hey, only God's way work. It's going to take a while for some. Some people are slow. But it's going to come to pass that everyone eventually will turn and start to keep the Feast of Tabernacles and keep and do things God's way. See, that's what's going to come to pass. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 16. Alright, let me see. There should be another phrase I want to make sure. In verse 12, he says, "Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and in their way are." Let's see, that's the thing. Verse 4 says, "His feet shall be on the Mount of Olives." Just in case anybody have doubts again that he is not going to go back to heaven to rule from there. No, he's going to come to the earth where Satan the devil is. Now he take that out away from him, kick him off that throne, and he take over. And we are going to help sit on it with him.
Yes, we're going to take over where Satan is right now, but we're going to teach the people the right thing, and we're going to do well. And so what I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, is feed shall be on the Mount of Olives, and then all these other things in the cup to pass we talk about. Now, every person is going to be given their plot of land again. There's going to come a time now, nobody's going to be renting land from anybody else anymore. They're going to have their own plot of land. And everybody is going to farm and have the type of fruit that they want. Everybody, it's not hard, you know, ladies and gentlemen, to plant some crops and so on and enjoy yourself. But he says every man is going to be sitting under his own vine, which is another way of saying he's going to be self-sufficient. He will have what he needs. He go on the back and pick kalalo, or he might pick fruits and so on. And what is going to happen is that he's going to learn, everybody's going to learn to do right. And so what we find then is that each man is going to be under his own vine, which is a picture of the tranquility that is going to be on earth. We want to make sure we get this in our spirit, ladies and gentlemen. We have to make sure we get this in our spirit. One other thing. What about the churches? Every church building, every congregation is going to have that same presence of the Lord there, where the glory of the Lord is there. You remember us talking about this before? The Shekinah glory? Where no matter what the people, what sickness they have, when they come, they get healed. That's how it's going to be. The glory of the Lord is going to be in the tabernacle. You've heard of this Azusa Street where they have the Shekinah glory at night, where it's like a fire on top of the building. Well, that's how it's going to look. People can see it from far. They won't have any doubt. The glory of the Lord is going to be all over the place. So I want to go ahead and just remind everybody, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we're celebrating. This is where we're heading. So this kingdom that is going to be established on earth. In the meanwhile, you and I continue to grow and develop so that we then can do the things of God. We're going to continue to serve Him, and we're going to encourage others, and God will continue to bless us. Thank you so much for listening. Let's go ahead.